Talk Central is brought to you by CloudGate, a micro mega company. All the power of a PC, the flexibility of Android, all at a fraction of the cost. For homework or play, available at takealot.com or cloudgate.co.za for only $1,999.
I'm Richard van den Berg.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central episode 118 for the weekend starting Friday, 12 December 2014.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, where you'll find South Africa's best technology journalism.
That's right, Duncan. No headlines like Gautrain launches one-rand parking.
Wow. No, we're a tech news website that publishes tech news.
On Talk Central this week, we talk about our newsmakers of the year and we pick winner and loser of 2014, and Duncan and I will pick our favorite app of the year.
That's right, but we must pay the bills. We'll be back in a moment.
The Vox Telecom Cloud is the future of business. Developed from the ground up, it's a turnkey, fully managed approach to the cloud. It offers you guaranteed support, a national network with true redundancy, fully managed services across all layers, and most importantly, a single point of accountability. The Vox Telecom Cloud. It's how cloud should be. To find out more about the Vox Telecom Cloud, SMS your name to 45454 or visit voxtelecom.co.za. Standard rates apply.
Oh, welcome to the show. How's it, Richard?
How's it, Duncan?
Our last show of the year.
Come and gone so quickly.
Oh, no, the year has flown past, and it's Friday the 12th of December before the customary 16 December holiday when everything in Joburg and the rest of the country comes to a grinding halt and everyone goes on holiday. I actually popped out for lunch just now, and it's crazy. Traffic everywhere. Can't get into restaurants. It's madness. But as of tomorrow, it's all going to turn quiet, and Joburg is going to turn into that wonderful ghost town that it becomes for two weeks.
Oh, I love it. I love it. It's going to be great hanging around, catching up on the forgotten technology that we never got to play with. And it's going to be a good December.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And the weather's just beautiful. Anyway, let's get into the show. We've got a special show this week. We're not really going to cover the news because there isn't a hell of a lot of news actually going on at the moment. And we don't really want to have a whole show just whining about the load shedding that's been happening. So I thought let's have a conversation about some of the big issues of the year. And I thought, what better place to start than actually have a discussion about our pick of the newsmakers of the year.
Yeah.
If you have a look at the website this week, as is customary at this time of year, we've published our both our international and our South African newsmakers of the year. But I think on the show we're gonna keep it to the SA newsmakers. And a lot of debate always about who to pick and who to perhaps more particularly to actually leave off the list.
Mm.
But we came up with our list of newsmakers, and in fact many of them are sort of double takes this time around. With the exception of our number two pick, who got the nomination on purely by himself. The rest of them are all sort of double picks. But let's go through them. Let's talk about why we think these guys and girls have made our pick of newsmaker of the year. And at number five this year, we've picked Marcel Golding. I didn't realize it was his wife actually until this whole story broke this year. Bronwyn Keane Young, who's the chief operating officer at ETV, and of course Marcel Golding, the ETV CEO. Both of them, of course, have left the company after a boardroom battle with John Copeland, the chairman of parent company HCI. HCI, obviously, the Hoskin Consolidated Investments, which owns a controlling stake in ETV.
Mm-hmm.
And I think particularly interesting because of the court papers that were filed by Marcel Golding in the Labour Court in Cape Town, making all sorts of allegations about political interference at ETV and Eunice Sheikh involvement on the board and political pressure being brought to bear and all sorts of intrigue. The long and the short of it, though, is that that Marcel Golding has stepped down from the company after he was suspended, and his wife has resigned as well. So interesting times, and one has to wonder what impact, if any, this is going to have on ETV's very strong push to have encryption in the set of boxes that South Africans will need for digital TV, the increasingly irrelevant digital TV project. They are our pick for number five, and I've got no doubt that these two are going to resurface at some point. Anyway, number four, also broadcasters. Arguably, we could have even put them higher on the list. They certainly haven't been out of the headlines much this year. But we decided to put more of the technology business, personalities higher on our list than the broadcasters this year. Otherwise, I think these two may have been at number one. But pick at number four, another twosome, we call them the terrible twosome, Zandile Ellen Chabalala, the chair of the SABC, and Claudio Motsoeneng. Until the middle of this year, it's acting chief operating officer. Now it's permanent chief operating officer. Very controversial appointment. But where do we start with these two? I mean, there's been so much written, so much said about them.
It's a case study for things that definitely shouldn't be done that way, or how it shouldn't be done, at least within any government entity.
For sure. Zandile Chabalala, or Ellen Chabalala, if you prefer. I'm not sure what she prefers. We go with Zandile. I know a little bit of other websites go with Ellen Chabalala. Mm. But she really has is in a lot of trouble, and is rather pig-headed about not facing up to it. Basically, she's been accused and found guilty of lying to Parliament about her qualifications in order to secure the SABC chairmanship. And when challenged to produce her documents, she says that the UNISA's IT systems are in a shambles, and that they've lost them, and that they actually do exist, but they've been lost. She claims that her original documents were stolen in a burglary, but refused also to present her pictures of her graduation, etc., etc. So it's one big mess.
It
seems highly improbable, let's put it that way,
that she
actually has the qualifications that she claims she has. And she should have stepped down at least while the investigations were going on. And I think similar accusations in a way against Claudio Motsoeneng. Allegations that he misrepresented his qualifications when he joined the SABC, and in fact the public protector Tuli Marancela found as much in her report and made a number of damning allegations against him. Yet, what does the Minister of Communications do? She ensures that he's appointed permanently to the position. It's a mess, and one can only assume that all of this is happening because the President wants it to happen.
I think no first world country will stuff like this really fly, in the broader scheme of things, and especially when you look at some of the comments made early on by Claudio Motsoeneng with the licensing of journalists. I don't know if you remember.
Oh yes,
that.
Of course, yeah.
It's kind of where the charade started for me. I think finding it comical at best. It's sad that something like this can go on for so long. At least the visible corruption that we can see from the outside.
Yeah, it's really sad. And I think we're almost in a position now, if you exclude the racist politics of the Nats, that I think history is almost repeating itself here.
Mm.
That the ANC have become the Nats minus the apartheid bit. They're behaving in the same way. They're treating the public broadcaster. They're not treating the public broadcaster in the way it should be treated. In fact, they're not treating it like a public broadcaster at all. They're treating it like a state broadcaster. It is worrying, especially if you consider the news this morning published in the Mail and Guardian that suggests that the ANC is looking to direct government advertising spend away from publications that don't toe the line. It all points to to a situation where the government is maneuvering behind the scenes to try to produce a message in the broader media that is to its liking. I've said on a number of occasions that I wouldn't be surprised if that old communist blade in Zamunda's hand is behind this for various reasons.
But it certainly looks plausible.
But before we go on to a long political rant, let's move on to our
Say, Miriam Shin wrote a very nice piece this morning, kind of explaining a lot of things. It made a lot of sense to me with regards to the movements we've seen within the communications spin.
She did. I thought it was a good piece. I mean, she's obviously politicking, being a member of parliament and a member of the DA, but I thought it was a fairly sober assessment of what's happened this year. But let's get back to that a bit later when we talk about our loser of the year. Our number three pick this year in our newsmakers list is Sipho Maseko, along with Brian Armstrong, his chief operating officer. And I think it's well deserved. The share prices, of course, these are the leadership team at Telkom, and there's been extraordinary change at that company in the last year, particularly since Sipho Maseko actually took the reins back in, I think it was April last year. The share price has risen by almost 500% since its low point in May last year. And they've made a number of smart strategic decisions, I think. They're moving to cut costs, which they need to do. I'm a bit worried about their capex line and their last set of results. I think they may be cutting too much capex, but we'll have to see the next set of results to get a clear indication of where they're going on the capex line. But they're starting to invest smartly. They're starting to box clever. They're starting to do the right things. Jury's still out. I mean, some people may argue, well, it's easy to cut costs in the short term, boost the share price, and then leave. You know, and then let the whoever takes over from you fix the long term mess that they might inherit from a lack of capital investment in the network, for example. But I think they're moving in the right direction. They're making the right decisions. And I think these two gentlemen are the right guys to be leading Telkom at the moment. They're our number three pick this year, Sipho Maseko and Brian Armstrong from Telkom. Our number two and number one positions, we had a lot of debate about who should be at the number one position. And our number two pick came very close to being number one. But we had to decide between them at the end of the day. And we decided that our number one pick just beat him out onto our top newsmakers list. And now our number two choice is Kim Reed. And he's the CEO, of course, of Takealot, the company that's really shaking up the pure-play e-commerce market in South Africa with that big deal earlier this year with Tiger Global Management, where they raised over $100 million in funding, which in the pure-play internet market in South Africa is going to go a long way to shaking things up. And, of course, they shook things up a few months ago by announcing that they were going to buy Kalahari.
Yeah, that was a big move, and I think
or not buy Kalahari, rather they're going to merge with them.
Yeah.
But it effectively looks like a takeover to me, because the Takealot name is going to stay, the Kalahari name disappears. Sure, Naspers is going to become an equal co-shareholder in Takealot with Tiger Global Management. But the Takealot brand is the one that's going to go forward. What do you make of that whole deal, Richard?
Yeah, I think it's a great move for the South African e-commerce industry. I mean, we all know that it's a growing industry. We're not quite there yet where we can say that it's on par with what we're seeing in the rest of the world.
No, but I think it's a long way still, actually. If you look at the numbers, I mean, they're talking about between 1 and 1.5% of all retail sales go through online in South Africa.
Yeah.
And in some markets, it's as high as 14 or 15%. So it's tiny here still.
No, for sure. But I think a merger like this, or shall we say...
it's a merger.
Yeah, a merger. Yeah. We're going to see some interesting things, especially in light of the fact that this could be the precursor to potentially an Amazon coming into the country, or, one of those players perhaps.
That could be what these guys are doing. They could be trying to build a bulk to attract a big player like. And I was actually talking to an online retail executive from IBM a couple of days ago, and I sort of put the Amazon question to him. And my take on this is that Amazon must have an Africa play at some stage. But his view was, perhaps it could be someone like Alibaba out of China.
Oh yeah. That also seems very plausible. I mean, we seem to have the infrastructure slowly but surely getting to the point where you can sustain a healthy e-commerce industry. Mm. I think the pieces are certainly falling together. But it is good to see a lot of money or seeing that kind of money being spent in the South African e-commerce space on that type of business.
Yeah.
It can only be a good thing. And I really look forward to seeing what's going to come from this next year.
Yeah.
Especially because Kalahari has been such a big brand in the e-commerce space in South Africa. I mean, it's one of the first online stores I remember ever hearing of when they were still called Kalahari.net.
Been around for a long time. So it's Takealot, for that matter. It used to be called
Take Two.
Yeah, and before that, it was called something else, I think. So they've been around for a long time in different guises. It still has to be approved by the Competition Commission. It'll be interesting to see what their notes on this deal say, if they decide to approve it or not approve it. There must be some questions that the Competition Commission is going to ask about the impact of the level of competition in the pure play internet commerce market, retail retail market, and whether this would make this merger entity too dominant. And I'm sure they're going to be asking those questions. It's going to be very interesting to see what the Competition Commission actually decides on this one, and we should have the details on that soon.
And I think a positive spin-off, just in closing for me on that, is I think we're going to be seeing a lot more smaller e-commerce players coming on board, especially in light of this kind of news, where people are starting to see that they could potentially be a lot of money in an online retail store. It's something that can be set up with a lot less hassle, I think, in some ways, than a bricks and mortar store.
It's difficult to get it right, though.
No, it is. But we're seeing so many people getting it right in some way, shape, or form. Whether it's one part of the formula. I mean, we've got a lot to learn from. We've got the best to learn from the rest of the world. And just looking at the startups that I've interviewed this year, looking at kind of the drive behind these guys, the motivation for launching those stores. It's incredible to see the industry being invigorated, and I think it's all down to this noise we're hearing in the market around e-commerce in South Africa.
Great. Well, our number one pick this year, and I think it's fair that we put them at number one.
Yeah.
It's another double take, and that's Neil Schumann from Vumatel, which is the fiber to the home startup, and Ryan Hawthorne, who's the technical advisor to the Parkhurst Residents Association. And we've chosen them because Parkhurst has really been the leader and the trendsetter and the whatever adjective you want to apply to it in the FTTH market in South Africa. We haven't really seen FTTH in South Africa until this project came along. And, you know, kudos to them for taking the risk, particularly to Vumatel, but also to the Parkhurst residents having the initiative to go ahead and do this. And in fact, their move has led to a whole range of other similar initiatives by residents associations all over the country. We've seen Dark Fiber Africa, for example, recently winning a big tender from the Park View Residents Association, and similar dozens of similar projects are underway all over Johannesburg and Cape Town and elsewhere, and I think it's the start of true fiber to the home deployments in South Africa, and kudos to these small guys because they've actually really they're showing the way, and they're getting the big lumbering operators like Vodacom and Telkom to wake up. You know, Telkom has been in no hurry to deploy FTTH. Now suddenly they've announced FTTH plans. They're deploying to 20 plus suburbs around the country by the end of the financial year. So I think that these guys have kind of lit a fire under those incumbents.
It was good to see also to what a community can actually achieve within the telecommunication space.
I mean,
we never thought that a community project like this could actually result in an amazing deployment of broadband connectivity to the home.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. So those are our newsmakers of the year: Neil Schumann from Vumatel and Ryan Hawthorne from Parkhurst.
Yeah, well done.
Well done, guys.
Love to see more from these projects, and then seeing what the other suburbs do following up.
Well, indeed. And 2015 is probably going to finally be the year of fiber deployment.
Yeah,
to the endpoint and into people's homes in particular. Cool. Well, those are our newsmakers. Let's get on to our kind of irregular features. They're not really our regular features this week because we're actually doing the picks for the year. But let's get on to our pick of our winner and loser. We're going to go for a winner of the year and a loser of the year.
Yeah.
Our winner of the year is related to our newsmaker of the year, and that is simply Parkhurst.
Oh, yeah.
Or the residents of Parkhurst. Oh, yeah. They're our winner of the year for. Having the guts to do this project, championing it, running with it, and becoming the first entire suburb that I'm aware of in South Africa to deploy fiber to the home. Well done to the residents of Parkhurst. Our loser of the year, we actually have two runner-ups, and again, this all relates to our newsmakers again. But do you want to chat about our runners-up before we deal with the main prize in this category?
Sure. Well, we've already kind of spoken about them in depth in this podcast, but Zandile Tlabalala and Gladi Motsoneng certainly are our losers of the year, showing South Africa how not to behave in the workplace. I think really dragging the name of the SABC down further beyond what we thought it would be possible, really thinking it's not the kind of thing we want to see from our broadcaster, national broadcaster, especially in light of the fact that, you know, the telecommunications industry needs to move to a place where, you know, we can really build on the successful stories.
Absolutely.
And yeah, this has put us back many years, I think.
Yeah, well deserved. They should be our losers of the year as well, but there's bigger fish to fry, if you like.
Yeah.
And that's actually the puppet master behind the horse, behind the scenes, and that's our laughing president, Mr. Jacob Zuma, who has really made a mess of things this year.
Yeah.
Particularly through his decision to split the Department of Communications in two, remove his hard-working communications minister in the form of Yunus Karim, in fact, remove him completely from his cabinet, and then split the department of two and put two ministers in who had no knowledge, prior knowledge of the industry, and indeed have achieved very little this year. The whole decision to split the department has set the country back by years.
Yeah.
It goes against the trend towards convergence. It takes us back to an era of sort of pre-convergence by splitting the broadcasting and telecommunications functions. I mean, those industries are actively merging, and having them under two separate entities makes no sense. It also creates an additional bureaucracy which costs taxpayers a lot of money. Hundreds of millions of rands a year in additional expenses, but it's created this situation that's going to hold the ICT sector back for years, because there's this need to deal with all the legislation around this. I mean, there's a new proclamation out now saying that ICASA is going to report to both the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services and the Department of the new Department of Communications, which is effectively a Department of Propaganda, which houses the SABC and GCIS in the same entity. It's a mess. Bad decision, probably poorly thought out. In fact, guaranteed to have been poorly thought out, and I don't think any proper thought went into this at all. Probably a decision that was taken off the cuff at the last minute. It's done incalculable damage to the ICT sector. We've had 7 months now of no progress in the digital TV project, as the ministers have been having a little turf war about who should be running the project. And there's no way we're going to meet our mid-2015 deadline. It's 6 months away now. To switch off analog broadcasts. That means we're not going to allocate the digital dividend for several more years. It's just the whole industry is being held back. While many of South Africa's peers across Africa move ahead with these projects. Kenya, for example, has committed to switching off analog broadcasts on the 30th of March next year. That's just a matter of months away. They'll then go ahead with the licensing of Spectrum, the digital dividend, to launch next generation wireless broadband services, while our operators sit here trying to launch 4G services on the limited Spectrum assets that they have at the moment, because the congestion on their networks is going to get worse. I'm afraid it's very hard to be anything other than bleak about the decisions that the government has made in this sector under President Zuma in the last 12 months. In fact, since he became president, it's been one mess after another.
Yeah, yeah.
He's constantly been changing his Minister of Telecommunications. There's been no stability at all. Projects are delayed, and yet there seems to be no accountability and no appreciation for the negative impact that this is all having. So for that reason, our very well-deserved loser of the year and possibly loser of the decade is President Jacob Zuma.
Yeah, but look on the bright side. If we don't have power, then it doesn't really matter if we don't have any of these technologies working.
Well, let's not go there. let's move on. We don't want to get too negative on this podcast. It is almost Christmas after all, and everyone's going off on holiday. We don't want people to go and sit on the beach and be miserable. So let's talk about our apps of the year. We had a long think about what we've been using the most this year and what perhaps has had a big impact on what we've been doing. And obviously this is a completely subjective thing and everyone's got their own picks, and we'd love to hear what you think your app picks of the year are. You can always mail us if you want to share that with us. We'd love to hear from you. That's info@techcentral.co.za. But tell us, Rechard, what you've picked as your app of the year.
Yeah, my app pick actually started earlier this year when I did an experiment to see if I would be able to use this app exclusively to conduct payments. The app is called SnapScan, and what I did with it initially was to see if I can go a month without using cash to pay for goods, cash or cards.
It wasn't just SnapScan; you were using a range of apps.
I was using a range of them, but out of those out of the testing, SnapScan was used the most. The most vendors supported it. Most small vendors that I came across, especially in the markets. The fairs and those kind of things.
Yeah.
People use SnapScan. And I still use it today. It is a great app. It saves me so much hassle. I love the way it works. I just love being able to use my phone to pay for stuff. You know, and the novelty factor is still very high for me on that. And I like it. Obviously, I use some of the others. So from time to time, Zap, I do use from time to time. But the overall winner for me, and certainly also looking at what kind of inroads SnapScan has made with its marketing in I think, raising awareness about this kind of payment mechanism.
Yeah.
Again, smaller vendors. I've seen a lot of small vendors use SnapScan. SnapScan is my pick of the week, pick of the year at least.
Great stuff.
I'll be using it into the new years.
Great stuff. Well, my pick is it's not a local app, but it's an app that I've been using for many years, but I've been using it more intensely this year, and I'm just loving the new features they've introduced. It's been through several big redesigns. And it's really become indispensable to my daily use of my phone. In fact, if I look at my battery utilization on my Android device, it'll probably show that other than the screen, this particular app is probably chewing most of my battery. But that's the app I'm using more and more is TuneIn Radio Pro. As I said, I'm sure most of our listeners, you have used it or do use it regularly, and it's brilliant. I discover all sorts of new radio stations. The radio next to my bed stopped working, so I don't listen to radio through traditional radio anymore. I listen to it all streaming over the internet. Even when I'm in my car, I just connect over Wi-Fi hotspot to my car.
That's nice.
And it's brilliant. If I feel like listening to a certain type of music, I just do a quick search and I bring up a radio station and listen to it. Well, I use my streaming music app, of course. I'm a subscriber to Google Music. I obviously use Simfy.
Sure.
But for radio, I'm a huge fan of radio. I've always have been. For both local applications and for discovery of new things, especially great talk radio, the TuneIn Radio Pro app is brilliant. And funnily enough, I end up mostly listening to local radio anyway. I listen to Source 702 through TuneIn. I've been listening quite a bit in the last few weeks to Cliff Central. I've got some good shows on there.
They're also on TuneIn Radio.
They are, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay, yeah, that's cool. Yeah. I don't know that.
Yeah, they are. I think they may have only joined quite recently.
Okay.
I think they were exclusively through WeChat for a while.
Yes.
But they're certainly on TuneIn now. And it's in fact amongst the South African stations. I think it's already in the top five most listened to. They're doing. Gareth Cliff's doing quite well with that by all accounts. So that's my pick of the year, my app pick of the year, TuneIn Radio Pro. And I know they released an update earlier this year, and I'm not actually sure there is a Pro paid for version anymore. Certainly I got the Pro version because it allowed you to set recordings. So if you wanted to record a favorite show on the radio or any radio station anywhere in the world, you could just set it, let's say record at this time, and off it went, and you could listen to it at a time you wanted to listen to it. You could also specify, only record this when I'm at home in my Wi-Fi hotspot, that sort of thing. But I have a feeling that the TuneIn app now allows you to do all of that without having to pay for it, but I stand to be corrected. I still get the TuneIn Pro app on my phone, and that updates. So you'd have to check that out. But if the regular version and a Pro version are still separate, you may want to get the Pro version to allow you to do those recordings if it isn't already allowed. Anyway, cool. That's our podcast for the year.
Wow.
As always, if you've got any feedback, please send us a mail. It's info@techcentral.co.za. And we'll be back sometime in the new year. The show is going to take a break for a while, and we're looking to introduce some new voices and do some new things in 2015. Almost said 2014. so listen out for that. But we will be taking a break. And if you're going away, travel safely. Enjoy the holiday. Thanks for listening to the show, and we'll catch you again next year. From Rachel and myself, cheers.
Ciao, ciao.